Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. So, Kamala Harris just introduced President Joe Biden. Let's just pop in for a minute just to kind of hear how he sounds.
1973, this fight's been going on. You know, the VA pays, as they should, 50% less than Medicare because VA can negotiate the prices. But for years, Big Pharma blocked Medicare from negotiating lower drug prices. The consequence, they're able to maintain the exorbitant price increases and the profits are uncalled for. Look, but this time we finally beat Big Pharma.
Okay. It's about what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's being Joe.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how nobody really cares that much what he has to say anymore. It's like, yeah, who cares? Gonna be gone and like.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I definitely agree that out of sight, out of mind really applied to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he stepped aside, it was just bam.
Sometimes I forget he's still president.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it sounds as goofy and silly as that is to say.
Mm-hmm.
You do kind of, oh yeah, Joe Biden's still president.
Yep.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. If something really went down, he's the guy that would make the decision.
Yeah.
And for a while. Like, it's mm-hmm. still quite a ways. It was kind of awkward. Kamala was, she took the stage first, and we were watching it in the office, and Joe standing right next to her, just kind of didn't know what to do with his hands, and she's thinking every, like, hey, guy with the wrench, thank you, and hadn't thanked him yet, and it was just sort of like, Rach and I were kind of uncomfortable, like, just acknowledge that he's standing there.
Yeah.
This is weird. But then he got a big, huge applause, so that was good. Feel good for the guy.
I mean, good for him for going out on stage with her. It's got to be embarrassing. I would certainly be embarrassed if, you know, Dave came to me and said, like, look, it's just not working out on the show anymore. And after this year, you're not going to be on. But can you still come out and endorse what's going on? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It would be a hit to your pride for sure.
We played it a little bit earlier today. He was talking to, he had influencers come to the White House. Clearly, they're trying to outreach to younger people, and that's what younger people are watching is TikTok. And he's talking about, you know, truth in media and, you know, everything's divided. And then he's like, it's why I invited you to the White House today, because I need a job, which I thought was funny.
Yeah,
because, you know, he's not going to have this job for very much longer. And then the idea of this 80-year-old man becoming an influencer is really funny to me.
I bet he'd blow up.
What if he did just TikTok dances?
TikTok dancing.
What if he did pranks? What if he did pranks? That'd be great.
Yeah,
look at this.
You know,
look at these shenanigans, buddy.
I do think my least favorite thing on earth right now is TikTok dances.
Oh,
I hate TikTok mm-hmm. dancing accounts.
You're not even on TikTok.
Well, they wind up on Instagram. It's the same thing.
If you have Instagram, you get TikTok
yes, it is.
3 weeks late. That's what it is.
That's the one thing I don't get on my TikTok or dances.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only boobies and monkeys and...
Monkey boobies
and child boxing. What is that? That sounds awful.
It's not great.
I think it sounds all right.
Well,
no, that's horrible. It sounds like abusive.
I know this. TikTok dancing is a profession and people make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah.
Which... I don't know if it should annoy me or not, but it does.
Mm-hmm. That just means we're getting old.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So that's kind of how the whole thing started, right? A few years ago, like TikTok was mostly...
Yeah, dancing was the main thing people were doing on TikTok.
Is it back or is it always...
It's always been around.
And is it like the... what am I trying to say? The choreographed, like we're all doing it together, or is it just mostly single people dancing?
It can be both. But people do the same dances. Like, there are certain
they're
dances
all trying to
that you
imitate
learn.
Them. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Also, I was going to say, what I've seen with dancing, I've seen the memes where it is what sorority girls look like now versus, like, sorority dances, or what my high school friends and I did mm-hmm. now back then versus now. And they show, like, these 18-year-old girls dancing. They look like they're going to the club and that they've been to the club. And I'm like, wow, these are women doing some pretty sensual dances. And then they go, this is me and my friend. And it's just, like, doofuses. Like, two doofuses in long shorts and T-shirts going, and I'm like, when I was 16, I looked like a kid. Like, we were kids, and now 16-year-olds definitely look like they're 22.
Especially when they're boxing.
Especially when they're boxing.
Throwing haymakers.
Especially when they're boxing those monkeys with the big boobs.
Oh, boy.
Coco?
Oh, no.
Wait, what's that? Coco professor, what? What is the professor of monkey? What did we talk?
Professor Fatass.
Professor Fatass. That's it.
Fatso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fatso. Yeah.
Shouldn't have said Fatass.
Yeah, that's it. Love that, Chin.
What were you going to say about the dancing, Christopher?
Oh, I just watched a documentary. I feel like Andrew or Rachel might have seen it. It's about these two sisters who were very popular on TikTok, and one of the sisters joined this cult. Have you seen this?
No. Is it the D'Amelios?
No. I'd have to look at it. Miranda something is her name.
Andrew's
and
like,
she's in this cult and has completely cut out her family. And the guy who has all of them live in the house is taking all of their money that they make from TikTok. But it's some religion that he created. It's the weirdest thing. And so I know it's a lucrative business because this guy is making a considerable amount of money off this whole group of young TikTokers. And he's an older guy and he has them all live in his house. They're all forwarding their paychecks directly to him, and
he
manages their finances. It's
like
insane
brothel.
Stuff.
Manages.
Yeah.
Wonder what his cell is. You know what he has to offer them.
It's a religion. He started. I don't know what they call it, but he's got a religion, and they all just bought into it. And the girl's sister who was on these elaborate dances with her on these TikToks, they have tried so hard to get her out,
yikes,
and they can't because she has just completely shut down the family altogether. It's wild.
I forget who the comedian was. It's some, I think he's an atheist, and he was talking about how dumb religion is, and he goes, now look, it's one thing if it's thousands of years old, okay, you kind of got me, but like Scientology was created in the 70s by a guy named Ron. Pretty good.
Ron L. Hubbard? Wait, Ron,
no, the L.
Ron,
L. Ron
Hubbard?
L. Ron Hubbard.
That's right, because I thought his name was Elron, like Elroy. I thought it was L. Ron Hubbard.
You know what I always like thought
elf?
About him?
L. Ron to the elf.
Yeah. You know those people who you just look at and you go, oh, that guy's got bad breath? Like without being, you just know by looking at them. That's what L. Ron Hubbard looked like to me.
Yeah.
Like you knew that dude had bad breath.
Okay, Ron, they're coming for you.
There's
now,
a spaghetti
dude.
Monster or something. Is that the flying spaghetti
the flying
monster?
Spaghetti monster.
What
basically,
is that?
Yeah.
That is something that atheists made up. Like, oh, if you believe in this God, then I believe in the flying spaghetti monster.
Okay.
Try to prove it's not true.
I see.
That's where
okay.
that came from.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, spaghetti is very difficult. It'd be hard for spaghetti to fly. There's so many noodles.
Okay.
Like, think about it.
She's been doing this all day.
Yeah, she on one?
Yeah,
no, I'm not on one.
It's... Well, we were talking about the governor's ham breakfast today. Did you know this is a thing at the Missouri State Fair, the governor's ham breakfast?
It sounds familiar. Is it just what it sounds like?
I guess. I don't know. But
we weren't there.
It took place today, and then Lucas Kuntz and Josh Hawley kind of got into it. It was, you know, they were just being childish. Like, you want to debate? You debate.
We'll
Let's debate
right
now.
Now.
No, do it tomorrow. Well, why don't you debate? It was weird.
And I asked... I said, do you think like there was real vitriol between the two, or do you think it was hammockable?
Oh, boy. She's on right. one. Can you go back to fighting with Wheeler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was way better.
If she fought like that, I'd just shut up.
How come we don't have a ham breakfast?
That's the way to shut you up? Bad
well,
jokes?
Every time she does that, what's the reaction?
Well, from you, there's Quiet. No fun, but I bet if you could be on Highway 40 right now, a lot of people laughing
people
in their cars.
People probably wrecking their cars.
Yeah, sure they are.
A lot of eye rolling.
Yeah, a lot of...
Calling a lot of ambulances.
Oh, dude, come on, man.
No. Boo.
You didn't have to. Did not have to. Come on. Come on. Rachel, say something, grown up.
I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. This is...
Oh, man, I almost went full Nancy Kerrigan. Why? Why?
We just had to show Matt Pajeski. He's so young, he didn't know about the Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, let's all jump on her in the lowest
well,
moment.
Well, listen.
Oh, Nancy
you feel
Kerrigan's
less sorry
awful.
For her.
She's so, awful.
She's
Did
awful.
Did you see the Disney parade video?
She's awful.
Did you see the Disney parade video?
No.
Oh, she had to do a parade at Disneyland, and she was like, this is so stupid. Like, the camera's on her, and you can just see her being
she's
ratty.
Getting paid for
That's
it.
That's the same even. Thing you would do, Kevin.
I know, but I wouldn't agree to take their money and do it and then sit there
it.
And be like, this is so stupid.
I'm a big Jeff Galooly guy.
The guy that masterminded the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Tanya Harding.
I don't think anyone.
Wow. I took Team you for Tanya. More. I thought you were more of a Sean Eckhart kind of guy.
Sean Eckhart. That's no. That's
he was the
guy.
Muscle.
That's right. He was the muscle.
Oh my gosh. Obviously.
Big Jeff Galooly guy.
Jeff Galooly.
Did you guys see that movie, I, Tanya?
I did. Yeah, I don't really remember
it.
It
was actually
well,
pretty good.
Margot Robbie was Tanya Harding, and I will say it was pretty brilliantly acted. It was really
it was a really good movie.
Who is Nancy Kerrigan?
She played herself.
No, I don't remember that either. Yeah. That's a good question.
Remember.
Did Paul Walter Hauser play?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he was
Eckhart. Sean Eckhart. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great, by the way.
I love him. He's such a good actor.
Yep.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So now what?
Anyway,
how bad this is.
Let's see.
He thinks everything's bad.
BGS. So we have the voice memos that you guys have been doing. We appreciate that. We're doing an Ask DGS later on in the show. All you need to do is download the Odyssey app and then like the KMOX page. When you pull up your KMOX page, it's going to say Listen Live. Then right next to it is a little microphone icon. Click on that, start talking, and you have 60 seconds to leave us a message. You can. You also have the option if you mess it up or you don't like what you said, you can redo it. They go straight to Andrew. He's going to listen to them. And then we'll throw them on at the beginning of segments or if we do a whole segment. And today we have an actual question. So sort of vis-a-vis Bernie Miklas being on yesterday, and Bernie was like, look, kind of three seasons. We had the first season where we just sucked. We had the second part of the season where we were on fire. And now we seem to be kind of sucking again. So my question is pretty straightforward. What's wrong with the Cardinals and what would you do if you could do something about it? What moves would you make? So simply go to the voice memo, leave us that, and we will drop them into the show throughout the show.
To be clear,
yes.
Are you asking what they would do now for the rest of the year?
Oh, for the love of God, Kevin Wheeler.
You're going to get, you're going to get messages that are like, well, the first thing I would do is fire everyone and trade Arenado. Well,
perfect.
That can't happen
perfect.
Now.
No.
Can't happen now.
Bring it.
These are valid opinions, Kevin.
Well, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying you can't do it now.
You fight on Twitter too much.
I do. I did today, too.
He's getting ahead of it.
Yeah. I would get Shohei Ohtani.
What'd you fight about today?
Just add him to the lineup.
I didn't like, so MLB was apparently,
oh, the
Jesse Rogers
rule.
Had a thing,
yep.
And they're talking about making pitchers mandatory go six innings, regardless of how they're performing. But they could come out if they throw 100 pitches or like
four earned runs.
We can tell when Kevin's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because he's
obvious.
It puts me in a mood.
Oh, in the room, you
yes.
mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
right where he's sitting.
Because he locks
now.
In.
Well, and then I don't talk during the breaks either.
He's looking at something he shouldn't be looking at.
Yeah, I don't talk during breaks.
Like,
and then.
Clickety, 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 clickety. And his eyes get all big. We're like, nah, he's fighting.
In fair, it wasn't really fighting, though. This was just more a lot of like back and forth ideas and
owning.
No, not even that. It's just, you know, like, hey, this is a bad idea, but here's a better one. I like this one.
How often does someone get you? Where you're like,
it happens.
Okay.
No,
it
happens.
Heath never thought someone's got him.
No, I do. I usually will respond and be like, well, good point.
He does this in the office too. He like wargs into the computer. It's like
I do.
His brain like connects telepathically.
An avatar when they get on the
his like eyes roll back.
Is that a word?
Maybe in Game of Thrones there are wargs and they can like take over the minds of other creatures, animals and humans.
His body like slumps and his eyes go back in his head and he just.
Now we're shaming orcs all of a sudden. So
well, they're not really orcs. They're humans usually.
Did you say orc or warg?
Warg.
Yeah, they're humans. Like no spoiler, but that's kind of partly
how
Hodor
it's
got
not,
the name
it's
Hodor.
Not. That's why I shouldn't have said that. It's my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now we got to explain Hodor and orcs. I'm so sorry.
Amy's like, I don't know anything new.
I don't know anything.
Let's talk
new?
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah,
well, that we can talk about.
How about D&D?
This whole show so far feels like Sunday night at church. We've had too much soda.
It's six different shows, all of the same. We're all doing
and none are good.
No.
I feel like it's the magic of this studio. Is like you said, none of us would be friends outside of the studio, but in the studio, magic happens, and somehow the magic isn't working. We're like, oh no, it's their real.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Amy doesn't like us. Yeah. Amy's like,
damn.
I would never hang out with these people.
You're the first person to say that.
Yeah, and we hate each other.
You guys go out.
Some of us actually do hang out outside of work.
We all like each other.
Is it that you say you don't look like you go together? Is that what it is? Whenever you say that you travel as a show,
I think I said one time, like, oh, I wonder what people think whenever we walk into a restaurant together, because it's not like a typical group of coworkers. We're not wearing like business casual. We're all just like,
yeah.
I thought it was more than that. Just like how
it is
guys,
an interesting crew, two
they
older guys.
Probably think that you're a manager for Chippendales.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. A male escort.
Time to feed the crew.
Whoa, the handsome convention is here with their boss.
The handsome convention.
Wait, what's Andrew then? What is he?
I'm the,
is he a Chippendale?
Oh, that's me.
He's the
what?
Star.
Haven't you seen his thirst trap that... picture?
See, this is why this is why you don't get to go to the convention. Because you're rude to everybody.
Did you submit the toilet photo for your headshot for the handsome convention?
No, my wife found a headshot that was much better.
It looked really nice.
The thirst trap one?
Is the toilet photo the same one where you've got your shirt off?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
One and the same.
Yep.
That's the genius of it. If it were one or the other, if he were shirtless on a couch, not good. Or if he is shirt full on a toilet, not great.
I was very comfortable that day.
Did you take it yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It never occurred to you I'm naked on a toilet?
Wait. It was like midnight.
Well, once you get midnight, anything goes.
Yeah.
Do you take your shirt off to do that, or was it just already off?
No, I'll take it off. Why not?
Okay.
I was at home.
Can you with a shirt on?
I wasn't here.
Yeah, can you with the shirt on?
I would prefer not to.
Really? You take off all your clothes?
Because I know
not all of them. I don't strip completely nude, but
so you wear pants when you're on the toilet?
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
Because that's all we got left.
Just socks.
Yeah, this isn't.
Way to make it weirder.
I was wearing just socks at the time.
Where?
I don't think it's... But I was at home. You guys can't shame me for not wearing a shirt on the toilet at home.
No, but we can shame you for taking a public photo
of
it.
Yeah. I didn't know it was public.
Somebody was going to see it, man.
I didn't put it on my Instagram story. Like
submitted it to an employer.
Yeah.
And that was your DoorDash photo?
Instacart. So groceries.
So when people...
Let me get your food.
Had their groceries delivered. That's the photo they saw.
Let me pick
stunning.
Up your milk.
It is stunning how many orders I got, not realizing that it was a shirtless photo with a toilet in the background.
But what is and what should be?
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
132 DGS. I like to highlight how far Came Wux has fallen. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when Mr. Hyland was running things where everyone was in a suit and tie and the clickety-clack of typewriters. And let's get on this right now. We got another scoop. Wiz beat NBC and XYZ. And just now on the break on the Glover Show, not ironically, not kidding, Rach goes, I'm looking up this ham breakfast, but I just can't find the menu.
I want to see what kind of sides are offered at the ham breakfast.
Is it a bunch of ham? Like all kinds of hams?
You're the expert.
Well, no, I found out about it from Ranji. Is it like different kinds of ham, like honey baked and this kind, or is it like...
So you think
bacon?
Ham's the thing?
I feel like ham, yeah, it's got to be.
And
what do you mean? How can there not be ham?
Do you think the governor set the menu? Because it is the governor's ham breakfast.
Hmm.
Well, he put his name on it.
So.
Like maybe he only likes shaved ham?
Yeah. They said, well, here's what we're thinking. No.
No.
That's
no,
we're a not weird doing that. Breakfast ham, though. Shaved ham?
Is that the deli meat ham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah.
It's got to be a ham.
Not a big ham guy.
I know.
You don't like ham?
I like it diced in my eggs, and that's about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have that at the ham breakfast.
If we were better, we would know.
I know. I can't find it anywhere.
We got to get Sean Malone on this.
Send Sean out there.
I wonder if I could fake a text from Steve telling him to get his ass to Jefferson City.
Is it Sedalia?
It's Sedalia.
Sedalia. For the
I do think it's really funny that Hawley and Kuntz... kind of got into it at the governor's ham breakfast. That's really, that's just funny to me.
I feel like that's what the founding fathers would do.
It's like a UFC promo thing.
Yeah. Yes. There's something really like old school. I think whenever there's ham and there was probably bunting there, if there's bunting and you have two politicians arguing, that feels like America.
Mm, yeah. You got it all.
Yeah.
Lincoln Douglas.
Right. That's what it is.
That's what Josh Hawley wanted to have, a Lincoln Douglas debate. I wonder, on a flatbed or something.
Why would that be? I don't understand that. Why wouldn't Josh Hawley want the biggest audience possible?
Maybe he thinks the crowd is his. Because I don't know. And that's the only thing I can think of.
People
but he
love
also
Ham
did
and Hawley.
Yeah. But I also did read about a week ago, he said that he thinks that there would, or he would bet there would be multiple debates. So that's not a commitment to multiple debates, but he did say he thought that there would be. But I agree with you, and we talked about that earlier. It's not 1850. We have cameras. You don't have to have a crowd. That's not the only way to reach people. You can reach people by being on television so the entire state can see your debate.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you need... Okay. Would you be happy if debates weren't televised like it was just a radio, right? You had the Nixon-Kennedy debate.
That's fine, as
radio
long as everybody can access it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question. This morning, Debbie Monterey did a really good piece with this psychiatrist who I believe is coming to town, and it was about kind of existential suburban angst and people being burned out and browned out and all these different sort of outs that they are. And it was really good. It was one of those where I rolled up the windows in the Jeep and turned it up, and I wanted to kind of take it a step further. And they were basically saying this is one of the most difficult times to live in the Middle Ages. It wasn't great, but that we evolve very, very slowly. But in the last 20 years, our brains have had to race to keep up with all this stuff going on, and our kids are going through things that we never dreamt of going on. We talk about parenting a lot here on this show. Do you think this is one of the most difficult times to parent? And the argument I would make is that my mom and dad... My mom and dad faced basically the same topography that their parents faced. Mm-hmm. You know, they, instead of playing with a wheel and a stick, you were playing with a frisbee. But things were basically the same, and rules were rules, and there was respect for your elders, and you didn't cross your teacher because you'd get a whipping or whatever it happened to be. Pretty much the same. And then what I faced was very different and parented very different, but now God love parents of little kids because it is completely different. And if your kid doesn't have a cell phone by the time they're 10, they're ostracized and they're made fun of. Do you think this is one of the more difficult times, Kev?
I don't think there's anything that is more or less difficult. I think each time is exactly what it is, and you're a parent who grew up in part of that time, right? It's all relative to when you existed. So like the boom of television was a massive change for human beings, and we think of these changes, but that was an incredible change to see images in your home of things that were somewhere else.
True.
And so yes, this stuff is to us more difficult and strange than what we remembered. But keep in mind, we remember the other times as kids. We don't remember them as adults. And I can promise you that the adults then were looking at previous generations were saying, well, they have it harder now than we did. I'm not sure that there is harder. I think you are in your time, and your time is what it is.
Do you know what I think would be more challenging, though, for parents? Is that this is the first time, maybe, that kids have access to a technology they understand better than their parents do. And not be true of all parents,
yeah,
but they understand
and
the platforms.
Communication technology. Not just playing Donkey Kong.
Yeah, much easier to hide whatever you're doing from your mom and dad than
it used
to be.
But I mean, I'm Gen X, and I'm in on all of it.
What do you mean?
I'm a 52-year-old man. I get all of those things. I understand the means, modes of communication. I play video games. I understand technology. We grew up with technology. We're the first generation, the Gen X's, that grew up with cable, internet. I mean, we weren't kids when internet came in, but we were just out of college, you know, and some of the younger Gen X's were in high school and had
so
the internet.
I may have had the hardest time.
Say, yeah, you're kind of in the between, right? Because yeah. you're at the oldest end of being Gen X, mm-hmm. which means you were probably what? Mid so to late 20s when internet became a thing?
Yeah, and I was 40 when Phoebe came along.
Right,
and
right.
50 when she was 10 and
right.
got a phone.
Right.
And I didn't understand it as well as she did by the time she was 12 or 13.
And I do think that each case is a little different, right? So, like, you are like my brother. My brother had his daughter when he was 40. You know, so there's a big gap. I had my kid when I was 24, 25. So I'm a lot closer to her age and generation than you are to Phoebe or than my brother is yeah. to my niece. And I do think that also creates what you're talking about, that feeling like, oh, my God, this is so much different, because it is.
I don't think it's fair, though, to compare television coming into a home to, like, a smartphone or a tablet. Because with the television, when it was introduced, it was like, it's in the family room. You're there for a set period of time, and then it's off. It's
the
gone.
The Lone Ranger.
Now this is with you everywhere you go. I'm looking at a study here that I actually pulled for headlines, but we can talk about it earlier, that says that children logging 75 minutes or more of daily screen time at 3.5 years old were found to be more likely to have outbursts of anger and frustration a year later. So these kids are using this very fast-paced technology that's ever-present and very hard to disengage from. And I say that as someone who has a hard time disengaging from her phone at times. And then it's leading to emotional problems in them later, because maybe they're dealing with a technology that is too advanced. They might know how to use it and how to manipulate it, but it might be moving their brains a little too quickly.
Right. But again, at that age, that is entirely a parent's control.
Right.
Entirely.
Yeah.
Like that is not a teenager who has a phone and is going to be off on their own doing things. If your 3-year-old's watching too much screen time, that's your fault.
You're right, but it still makes it more difficult. That, for example...
Well, I mean, more difficult than when it didn't exist?
No, more difficult that the standards. That if when Phoebe was 10 and we got her a phone... if we would have waited until she was 15, there would have been a lot more pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's, you can say, well, then you're a bad parent or you're not being effective. But it is pressure when your kid's getting pressure. And I think that I agree with Rach that it's more difficult when it is a social thing. I mean, like, you know, there was always going to be a first television. And Bobby has a television. He gets to watch Lone Ranger and I don't. I'm sure that happened. But I don't think it had the pressure of I'm on a device that all of my friends except for me yeah. are on.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, there have always been changes, but a change is not a change is not a change, meaning the scope and scale are going to change. They're going to accelerate. So my grandma, who was born in 1920, quite literally had a childhood that had more in common with Jesus than she does with kids nowadays. They had an outside bathroom, right? There was no technology. They didn't have a car. All of these things. So you see, like, well, cars changed things. But with technology, with smartphones, with apps, it has, I mean, even like, you know, an AI, but like you said, it's communication technology. It's technology that's all encompassing, all engulfing. A TV was a TV. A smartphone is your everything. You can isolate emotionally. You can isolate physically. You can isolate mentally. You can isolate in every single way a kid can, from not only their own family, their parents, if they want to, from physical presence of friends and just have an online or social app presence, but even in the car, with kids are wearing headphones at school, right? They can focus on their phones. That's why phones in school is such a big deal. The scope of changes, we've always dealt with changes, but there is a difference in the scope of changes, and we've never seen a scope like this.
Literally every generation makes that argument about what's happening in their time.
You can
literally
make that
I've
argument,
got newspaper no I've got newspaper articles from 100
no,
years ago,
but you do understand
making the
scope.
Exact same claims
we
about whatever
global,
was new then.
I mean, this is different. It's okay.
It's always different. That's the point.
It's
that
not,
is
though.
Entirely the point. You guys are like, this is the only time in history that people had to face something.
No.
That
televisions and cars didn't rewire how kids' brains.
No, but
developed.
It changed how the world was received by human beings. It changed how parents perceived the world. It changed
but you see
politics
how the change is
forever.
Accelerated. You keep saying every generation, but again, Kevin, in 1920, if you were born, you probably had more in common again with ancient civilizations. We went thousands of years, and then the changes started to accelerate in the 20th century. Then they accelerated more. And then you had the space race. And then within 50 years, we went from not having a car to being on the moon to every single person has more technology in their pocket than we used to send someone to the moon.
Right. And we sit here and act like it's bad. But when we look at the past, we're talking about the argument here is that this is a problem. And what I'm saying is this is the human condition. Constant change and acceleration of change is the human condition. And it has been since those times you're talking about. Now, yeah, they started slow because they had no choice, but they were always pushing for those changes and looking for those new things. And sometimes those new things got pushed back by bigger forces, right? Whether it would be a king of a country or the Pope in Rome, they would push back against science, for example, because it's heretical.
A little bit of a silly example, but not that silly. Let's say in the next 20 years, we develop AI that can essentially read minds. And so now you're 13 years old, you're in eighth grade, and the girl you have a crush on knows you do because she's reading your mind. Would you say same way, standard for the course, or would that be a bigger jump than the Lone Ranger?
I think every jump is going to feel bigger to the people that the jump happens during their lifetime.
An impression doesn't invalidate the reality of the scope.
Right, but reality is subjective. There is no objective reality of
objective.
What it is.
It's data. We can qualify it.
Right.
Quantify it.
Amy, you don't
data.
Have any data to talk about what happened 100 years ago. This is how the human race has been going for millennia. We have been progressing and speeding up for millennia.
Right, but wasn't Dave's question, is it harder now? If there's a graph and we can see it spike up because of this new technology.
But hard is relative is my point. Is it harder to be a parent now than it was during the Great Depression when you didn't have money or food for your kids?
But that's what we were saying is there's a different kind of hard. He was looking at, like I said, this is not the most difficult time to be alive. It's the stupidest time. I'll say that. And so,
well, we say that having never experienced any of those stupid times when people worshipped 8 million gods and felt like sacrificing children to those gods was considered logical. Of course we're going to do that.
That's cruel, not stupid. We're talking about
it's
foolish.
Stupid because you thought you knew something you couldn't possibly know. Like, we think that these gods that we can't even prove existed in the volcano are going to save us if we throw our children into the volcano. That's stupid. But it was stupid in the sense that they just didn't know what they don't know. Just like now, we don't know the things we don't know.
Man, this is two in a row of not being able to come to any common ground on an issue.
He just warged you.
I got warged big time. Two in a row.
What's a warg?
I understand what Kevin is saying, and he's not wrong in that civilization changes constantly, but I believe it's quantifiably evidenced that technology has advanced at a more rapid pace in the last 50 years than it has ever in recorded history. So, I don't know how you can argue with that, but I'm sure Wheeler will find a way.
But I actually didn't, though. I made that point. I know it's accelerating. I know it's accelerating faster than ever. But difficult is just relative to what you experienced. And I grew up with a lot of technology, and it's not that far off of the technology that my kid was using when she was 8, 9, 10, 12 years old.
Let's pivot. I have a more important topic. I need a ruling. I told you guys about this yesterday. So we have two bathrooms. We have one that has multiple urinals and commodes, the public bathroom. Mm-hmm. We have one, the executive bathroom, which I call the one-holer, which is just one toilet. And we all know that if the doors shut, you wait. But clients don't know that. Mm. And so yesterday, I was in there using it, number one, not number two, thank goodness, but probably not the way he's looking at it. And the door opens, and I, of course, out of instinct, turn toward him like I'm pointing a gun at him.
Stop right there.
Yeah. Something tells me he's not going to be doing lives with me. Whose fault?
Yours.
Yours. You should lock the door.
Yeah.
His fault. There's a lock on that door.
His fault.
I'm sorry.
Not only is there a lock, but why would you turn toward him?
If a bathroom
door...
Why is
your instinct not to cover up? You're like, whoa, 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 hey, I'm in here.
No, don't listen to them. They're completely wrong. If the bathroom door is closed,
I agree.
No. You don't. If a door is closed, you knock.
First of all, that's correct.
Well,
no.
First of all, I didn't turn towards him like, hey!
Yeah.
That's what I thought you did.
No, I mean, I...
You kind of implied.
It was more of a whoa.
I turned towards him, but I also...
He got the ricochet off the mirror.
Crouched, yeah.
Is that what happened? Crouched a bit.
Yeah. Just curl a little.
Don't entertain them. They're
no,
wrong.
I
were stealing someone's apple and they caught me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. I thought if you were more like, welcome.
If it is a public
welcome to Odyssey.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, this is the bathroom.
And this is how you use it.
I call this the one holer.
Andrew, you're about to have my back.
Yeah, no, they're these two are completely wrong, and you should not entertain them for a second. If the door is closed, you knock on it.
Incorrect.
Yep. Especially if it's a bathroom. Both of you shut up.
Incorrect.
I feel like it's especially
here's why it's incorrect. When it is a public restroom, you don't know if the bathroom door just swings shut on its own.
Right.
My expectation would not be, oh, that's a one-seater, and if I open the door and somebody's in there, they wouldn't have locked it. I would have expected.
I'm so shocked that the rudest person I know thinks it's a good idea to barge into closed doors. I'm stunned.
No, I'm on Ranja's side.
Just because we're right.
The two rudest people
door.
I know.
You perv.
When we come back, Wheeler will do an hour on this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.